meeting of Cali County Commissioners together. First item, call to order, roll call.
Chairman Bob Bagley.
Here.
Vice Chairman Mayhew.
Here.
Commissioner Allen Gruen.
Here.
Next item is invocation. Vass Wayne, do you have invocation tonight?
Please bow. God, we thank you for autumn chills and colors which remind us that there is no stopping time and that life is limited and precious as well as beautiful. Amen.
Amen.
Next is recognition of employees with 20 or more years of service to Cali County. And one we have is Christina Humholtz, treasurer for 30 years, and she's not here tonight. So we'll give her her certificate tomorrow and congratulate her on her 30 years. That's pretty good. Item D, minutes of the October 1st, 2019 regular Cali County Commission meeting. Anybody see any changes?
No, I move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
I move to present the minutes as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Citizens be heard. Any citizens be heard? Discussion items. Discuss request for proposals. RFP for transfer station facility repairs.
Chairman, I put this on your discussion items today for a couple reasons. One, we've been working on it for a little bit. I've talked to you guys off and on. I know John Jordan's over Public Works, which is over the landfill transfer station. But the facility that we have out there is used quite heavily. We push anywhere from, 300 to 500 tons a day trash through that building on a regular day, not a heavy day. And we've seen a higher utilization in that facility as we've had the May floods because of people cleaning and cleaning up from flood damage and stuff like that. A couple things we're looking at, there's a steel chute, and I brought this some photos to you guys a couple months ago looking at those. They, after all those tons of product hitting those sides, they tend to bend, deteriorate, and they've also pushed against the west wall, bowing the west wall out. So we have a couple issues. We've had a fire in that facility a couple times, which has burned out the electrical system inside the area. So this RFP is going to include fixing the scoop or the chute that the trailer sits under, also fixing it from its damage, but also raising it to where we can use the larger trailers that the company provides for us to use. It's MBI. Yeah, MBI is the company that does that for us, and they transfer that trash to Plum Thicket for us, and we have that service. They have newer trucks, better truck trailers, and we don't have the size limitations that they need for clearance. So not only are we going to repair it because it's damaged, but we'll be changing it to fit that structure, as well as adding lighting to the facility. So as the dawn is a little later and the dusk is a little earlier, people are not working in dark, unsafe environments. I don't really know at this time if there's any action that needs to be taken. I just wanted you guys to be aware of it. I'm working with Agora Architecture, putting out this RFP, and we'll be doing an on-site walkthrough here later this week so that those can get in and out. Rough proposals is estimated about $200,000. There's a lot of metal there. There's a lot of product there. And the one of the issues that we're going to arise is to be compliant with KDHE's regulations. That's the reason why that building's there, is to ensure that that product is not scattered by winds or messed with by the weather. They'll be working around our hours, and there may be a possibility that we need to close for service on a weekend that we normally are open on a half day. Or there's another temporary staging site that we have on site that we may have to get approval and activate through KDHE. So sadly, it's not as simple as having somebody come in, weld up a couple things and go away. It's a substantial project. I would welcome if you guys would like to go out at any time, just let me know. I could take you out there, but I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. It's in the works and it's coming through. The landfill is an enterprise fund, so my hopes would be is we could try to fund it through that enterprise process. That's the purpose of it being an enterprise fund.
It'd be quite an undertaking to get that all out of there and back in there in 5 days.
I think it's going to be a big challenge. When I've talked to a couple folks, really what they plan on doing is building it, pre-building it in sections. So they'll have the north, south, they'll have four sections, and they'll come in, cut it, they'll leave it there, they'll come in on semi-trucks, and they'll bring the crane truck inside, and they'll pull that truck in underneath, and they'll winch up and hang each one of those corners, or each one of the sides one at a time. They think they can get that in a 12 to 16 hour day, and then everything else could be working as it's still open. So, but again, having crews work outside the normal operating hours also comes with an expense. So the decision may come back to you guys is we're going to close for a day or schedule it over a holiday or something like that. But traditionally, the impact of that is pretty substantial when you consider every trash truck in Cali County and in adjacent counties are using that. So when we're not open, people aren't getting their trash picked up. So just want to bring that to your attention.
Okay. Next discussion item, Hackney Bridge repairs.
On this item, I'd ask John to come up and have a conversation with us. MKC has provided back an article from BNSF saying that they finally approved the proposal of repair. But in the meantime, John's team has presented two different options of trying to get funding or support in funding. One, we've already been turned down for the off-system bridge project, and there's a cost sharing through KDOT that last Friday was the date that it was to be presented, and we did get it in on time. I think the conversation is today is we have the information to move forward. If you guys want to move forward, fix the bridge out of your own funding, we can do that. You would see that funding out of your special bridge, special highway bridge fund. But also understanding that means you're paying for 100% of it, and you're paying, estimates are anywhere from $400,000 to $600,000 to repair the bridge. It's not structurally replacing the bridge. The question is, do we want to wait to see the response from the cost share, which would be at 80-20? Or a 40-60. I can't. 40-60. It'd be a 40.
Go lower, but they said that was kind of a pretty good average of maybe getting approved.
But the problem you have is we're not talking apples to apples. Our $400,000 to $600,000 is going to be related to repair of the deck, and that's having the assumption that before they break into the bridge, the I-beam structure is still in good contact and is working appropriately. The cost share program would be to replace the bridge. And so I'm sure the people of that area don't want us to wait another day. But if I could get them a brand new bridge for the same price I can repair a deck, and I wait 30 days to find out, that's kind of the conversation. So I would ask for any input or thoughts you guys have.
So you're for the KDOT cost share program to replace the bridge is only 30 days out before we would know?
No, we don't have a guarantee on that. We would hope within 30 days we hear something. There's no guarantee that we'll know in 30 days.
Just waiting to see if we got a second on this one.
But it's a fairly new program. And it's, well, the program was presented by Senator Alley, and it's a big project that he was promoting on. And so I know there's a lot of local backing to try to make sure that it doesn't die. And so I'm making assumption, but I'm hopeful we would hear. We heard back in 30 days on the off-system bridge, did we not?
Yeah, it was pretty fast.
It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm making only assumption. I have nothing really to go off of this, just other than other experience. But I would hope we would hear something in 30 days. And if we don't, then we could revisit it and make the decision, perhaps, to just pursue it.
I thought those beams had to have repairs.
I think they're going to be minimal repairs.
Yeah, it's mostly all the damage is to the west end. And they seem to think it's not a real serious deal that they can, like, they're just going to cut that part of it out and replace it with new
or
steel.
Plate it or something?
Yeah, they didn't seem like it was a serious deal. But of course, they didn't just have to get the deck off with it.
And that's, I think that's a big
caveat. Right.
The new bridge, you're talking the same size as this one? Or
it would be up to the current standard. So probably a 26-foot deck.
Yeah, I'd say 26.
And most likely, because of BNSF, right now one of the footers of that is in the railroad right-of-way. Most likely, you're going to see a new deck be approved to have the footers outside of the right-of-way. So it would not be the same deck. It would be a more modern, I would assume probably more similar to the Girl Scout
bridge.
How old is that bridge in?
36?
Built in 36 or
also yeah. Be bigger or more.
Excuse me.
The weight limits would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's part of the problem now. There's things going across there that shouldn't be going across there.
So, I mean, like I said, I know it's a huge inconvenience for the folks of Hackney and for our landfill and for the businesses that use that. But at the same time, having a chance, either minimal or not, I think there's still a chance that we could get a 60-40 split and get them a modern, today bridge put in. And, or at least know that answer in a reasonable amount.
For about the same amount of money?
Yes.
I think similar, very similar amount of money.
It might be just a shade higher than just the repair. You know, what time you figure in the engineering part of it that we'd have
to. Be foolish not to wait another 30 days, in my opinion. I know it's an inconvenience to the people, but.
I do too. 30 or 45 days, I think we can wait just to see. I'd rather see a new bridge than for the same amount of money.
Especially if it was built in 1936, you know.
We're just putting a band-aid on that.
I concur completely.
And basically, you know, we've tried our very hardest for the folks, especially what we were talking earlier about the 212 issue. We've done everything we can to try to provoke
the railroad
to break their trains at that intersection, and if they're working on the railroad, to be blocking at the furthest intersection, not having somebody with a truck and trailer or a tractor trying. There's no turnaround, and that's the problem.
The last couple of days, they've been working on the one north.
Yes, yeah. They're both shut down.
So we're trying our hardest to have communication and doing that. So
what do you think, man?
Well, I would rather have a new bridge for the same amount of money. I realize it's a pain for you guys, but I think waiting would be the way to go. I was also Representative Riley. I contacted him about the trains blocking those tracks. I was impressed with how helpful he was. We don't have anything. We can't sway those people whatsoever. I don't care. But I was impressed that he kept after it and working on it.
The railroad's like the government.
Oh, it's worse than the government.
Well, what I'll do then, if you guys are okay with it, is I'll bring this back to your guys' attention in early December, unless we hear something earlier.
Sounds good. Item G, business. Consider approval of public hearing for charter resolution exempting Shallow County from the provisions of KSA 68-584 relating to the financing of primary and secondary arterial highways.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce Kevin. He's with Gilmore and Bell, and he has been my guiding leader on getting this to you guys appropriately. So I would ask him to kind of ask and talk you guys through what we're looking at.
you want me to give lots of context, sort of different statutes?
What do you guys want to hear?
I can. I'd be happy to, because that's some of the things we've talked about.
Whatever you need to tell
they don't care about statutes.
Let's just talk about the over 20,000 foot. What is it? What is it doing for us? Kind of where we're at.
Well, this charter resolution relates to a statute that's not uniform, which means the governing body can act by charter resolution and make changes, alter it as it applies to the county. And as you read a moment ago, it relates to primary and secondary arterial highways. How we got here, we were talking about road and bridge repairs and financing options, and I told Lucas, the first thing that comes to mind if we're talking about bridge repairs, culvert repairs in particular, is another statute, 68-1103, which also applies to roads, but it treats roads differently than bridges and culverts. If the governing body needed to proceed with a bridge and culvert project and issue bonds for it, they can. There's no election requirement. Those bonds don't count against the debt limit. You just adopt a resolution and you go. And it's different for roads under that statute. If you want to issue bonds for roads, you have to publish that resolution 3 consecutive weeks. It's subject to a protest period. If you get protested, then you have an election, and those bonds count against the debt limit. So within the same statute, a real distinction between how bridges and culverts are treated and how roads are treated. And the thought I always have is bridges and culverts are, and you're having these discussions now, they're important. And sometimes you can't wait to move on projects, sometimes you can, but when it's time to replace a bridge, it's time to replace a bridge. And roads may be a little different, so they're treated differently. This particular statute also relates to primary and secondary roads, as we mentioned earlier. They're exempt from the debt limit if you issue bonds under this statute, if you use the charter resolution. And that's the real distinction. If you think you may have, and I know this is part of the big sort of planning discussion, in the future, a thought that you might issue bonds for road projects, there's an advantage to using this charter resolution in getting set up so you can use this as your authority to issue bonds, because they don't count against your debt limit, versus using that 68-1103 statute that I mentioned. So that's kind of to me it's high level, maybe it's more detailed than you wanted, but the only thing that this changes, so charter resolutions, you're going to take a statute and it applies to you, but it doesn't apply uniformly to all counties, so you can act locally and change it. And the only thing this changes, you can do a lot of different things with it because you're making your own local legislation. And I don't know if you look through this at all or not. As drafted, the statute provides that you can issue bonds sort of incrementally, and each issue or each project can exceed 0.5% of your assessed valuation. And then the total of all bonds outstanding under that statute can exceed 2%. So, you know, if you went consecutively in 4 different years, maybe you can issue 0.5% of your assessed valuation, 0.5%, 0.5%, 0.5%. You get to 2%, you can't do any more. This would change it only a little bit, and again, we could change it a lot more. This changes that 0.5% limit to 2%. It basically says if we've got the ability to go 2% under this statute, and actually I mentioned that debt limit exception earlier, it's an exception from the debt limit as long as you don't exceed the 2% of your assessed valuation. So this would change it so you're operating within the sort of 2% limit under this charter resolution. You need to go do primary and secondary arterial road projects, and you don't exceed 2% of your assessed valuation on a particular issue. You can do that, and it's not going to count against your debt limit, and you're not going to run afoul of this statute. So it really just sets things up to make it a little more user-friendly. If you get to a place in the coming years where you think you're going to have some road bonds. I will add, we've seen this, and I mentioned earlier, you can change this in a lot of ways. You could change it so you don't have that 2% limit. You don't have an election requirement, you don't have a notice of protest, you just go do sort of whatever you want to do. You may not want to do that for a number of reasons. One concern I have is you can't change your debt limit by charter home rule action. That's one of the things you can't change. So if you just try to throw that door wide open, you're still going to be dealing with debt limit issues. I'm not sure if you sort of threw that door right open and said, we're going to change everything in 68-1103, including that 2% debt limit provision, whether all of the bonds wouldn't count against your debt limit that you would issue under this. So you sort of outsmart yourselves and say, well, that's great. We made it easier to issue bonds without notice of protest, election requirement, or any of those things. Now they count against their debt limit, and that may tie our hands a little bit. So that's an extreme. And I would say the way this changes that statute is probably the bare minimum if you're going to change anything. So that 0.5% limit changes to 2% of your assessed valuation. You still have to publish notice of your intention to issue those bonds. It's still subject to a protest period. And again, you have your 2% debt limit exemption if you use this provision. So anyway, a lot of detail problems.
So the goal was to start building our foundation to work towards our sales tax, right? Mm-hmm. And in the conversations that I've had both with Gilmore and Bell's legal counsel on this and George K. Bong, which is now
Steve Paul Nicolaus.
There you go. On financial counsel for bond counsel, you know, in the conversations we've kind of got to the point that this is where you start. This is, let's set up what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And I think from my conversations and talking to other groups, this is a fairly conservative proposal. I think not even fairly, it's conservative. I think you can see a lot more aggressive role. I think this fits where I'm hearing you guys kind of want to go. We want to show we're going to fix the roads. We're going to go out for a sales tax. And this is setting up that ability to where we're able to issue and get those bonds started to facilitate those sales taxes.
And one of the things we've talked about is the sales tax can be separate from the bonds. You can go have an election on the sales tax, period. And that's if it's for roads and bridges, and if you then issue bonds under, say, this charter resolution or that 68-1103 I mentioned for bridges and culverts, fine. Those are general obligation bonds. They're payable from ad valorem taxes if necessary, but you could choose to apply your sales tax dollars to pay debt service and fund it and budget it that way. You can include, and I think you have included within a sales tax proposition a question of the project itself. So you could say, shall we impose this sales tax and shall we issue general obligation sales tax bonds to pay for various road and bridge projects? You can do that. One of the things we've talked about here is it's not necessary, and that's a more complicated ballot proposition than simply saying, can we have a sales tax as a funding source for these projects? We may decide on the projects later. We'll have to use different statutory authority. We're not authorized to issue bonds yet. We would just be authorized to have the sales tax in place. Again, versus we're going to ask you for the sales tax, we're going to ask you at the same time, can we go issue bonds for projects? You may not even know yet. It may be sort of a program that you're looking 5 and 10 years ahead, and sometimes it's difficult to say, well, today we think we might issue $5 million in bonds over the next 5 or 10 years. We're not sure which. Maybe we're sure of a couple of bridges, but we're not sure of all of them. So that was part of the discussion. How can we do some things now to lay the groundwork so that if you do have a sales tax election and it passes, you have some of the bond authority in place. If you need to use it and want to use it, that you can move more quickly and easily then after you've had your successful election.
So
that's a good point. And one of the things we talked about, if you're going to have a charter process, and this is something that would have to be published a couple of times and you wait through a period of time before it's effective, to just sort of be done with that and know that might be a tool in your toolbox in the future, but also know that an election is still to come, and that's the important thing, and you can focus on that at that time.
So today's request is not to actually approve this charter, but to actually set the public hearing for the charter.
And that's our whole idea.
So then at that point, it would be a traditional how we do a public hearing. We do a public hearing, have an opportunity. I think this has to go through a published...
Yeah, then if it passes, then it gets published.
And protest period.
And a protest period, and then it becomes effective after 60 days.
After the second
publication, a 60-day period begins, and this can't become effective until you're through the 60-day period. The protest period is an either or. 2% of the number of electors who voted at the last preceding November general election, so that's going to be what's coming up next month, or 100 electors, whichever is greater. So probably here it's going to be 2% of your registered vote, or folks that vote at the November election, hopefully,
we hope.
Really low voter turnout, but that's kind of, it can be protested, and if so, then it doesn't become effective until you have an election. And my experience is it's fairly rare for these to be protested. In particular, this charter resolution, if it became effective, has another protest period before you issue any bonds. So that's another one of the thoughts too. If you start chipping away at the process now and this becomes effective, at least you have one of the protest periods you would have to deal with out of the way. So again, if you have a successful election, you're not dealing with kind of serial, we have publishes, go through a protest period. If it becomes effective, then we can do another resolution and authorize the specific projects and then publish it, and it goes through a protest period, and that becomes sort of onerous when you've sort of done the heavy lifting with the election. So
this one here, though, is just for roads,
right?
Bridges.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, and the statute is 68-1103 is really expansive as it relates to bridges and culverts. And if you read that statute, it talks about roads, bridges, culverts, building new roads, repairing existing roads and bridges and culverts, everything you would do. But then it breaks out into separate subparagraphs. If you're going to do bridges and culverts, here's the process. You can go issue bonds. Those don't count against the debt limit, and there's no further, notice, protest, election requirement. The road subparagraph says sort of the same thing, but then it says there's no exception for the debt limit, and you have to publish and go through a protest period on the roads. So this will set you up to be in sort of the same place as it relates to roads as another statute. But the key distinction is you have a debt limit advantage using this statute versus 1103. And I don't know, I get what the legislature was thinking, where they treat bridges and culverts differently. Again, sometimes that's an emergency and you have to maybe go issue bonds and make repairs, and you can't have an election, it's going to take too long, all those things that maybe you can't afford to wait to do. But the debt limit distinction between one statute and another, I don't have an explanation for that. It's just how it is. So with a little planning, this gives you that advantage. And I always tell people, we're kind of moving far afield, but you may never get that close to your debt limit. I mean, your bridge projects, even if you had several bridge projects, those bonds aren't going to count against your statutory debt limit, which is 3% of your assessed valuation, by the way. For general obligation bonds, 3% of your assessed valuation is your limit. And it's been in the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen a couple of situations, one in Greensburg and then one in Coffeyville, really, within a year, where you have natural disasters that force those communities to go issue short-term general obligation bonds before they had insurance payouts. And it was a real struggle because they were bumping up against debt limits and, we know you need to do this, we know it's only a short period of time, and you're going to pay this off as soon as you get insurance, but the debt limit says what the debt limit says. And so that sort of changed my thinking, that if you have an opportunity to preserve debt limit, preserve it, because you never know why you would need to use it in the future. So that, again, is one of the reasons we think about having that advantage.
Well, I think it's a good idea. What do you think, Wayne?
I think it's a good idea. Good presentation.
So we need to move to set a public hearing for November 19th, 2019 for charter resolution. So. And Wayne second.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed.
So we'll
take
a date on this?
Yeah, I'll call you.
Okay.
And we'll get it all cleaned up. And we'll start publish it.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You did a lot better job explaining than Lucas did.
Why do you think I invited him down?
Yeah, it's been a good process, and we had good discussions and sort of.
I'm learning a lot, is what he's saying. I'm learning a lot.
Okay, next item. Consider approval of real estate listing contract for sale of county property.
Not the table.
And I think we're going to table that till November 5th.
Second to motion.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passed. Consider approval of hearing for expanded boundaries of Rural Water District Number 6. Karen,
here representing Rural Water District Number 6, if I'm on the board there. Also kind of involved with it from the standpoint of reason for expanding it. Most of you are aware of the Magnolia Ranch and know that Kevin McFarland now owns it and is living there. The water there has never been good. Jim put up with it all the time he was there. Kevin's got a young family and younger situation there, wanting to be able to tie into Rural Water. The east boundary of Rural Water District Number 6 ends in basically my driveway. And Kevin's about a mile on east of there. And so it approached the Water District about expanding the boundaries of the Water District to include their property, and that's what this would be for. It'd be expanding it about a mile and a half onto the east, which is still all west of the Walnut River. Reasonable. Water District has approved it, and just asking now for approval from the board to expand it also.
So if we did that, do we need to go a little farther, or can we, at the time?
As far as going east, you probably don't want to go any further east because you hit the river. Because that pretty well, there's a few spots in there that's not, but pretty much it goes clear east of the river. That way, I don't think you want to think about going east of the river there, because that's such a issue trying to get across the river. Plus, if you get over there a little ways, there is another water district.
Yeah, and that's right. I don't know who ran that river, but it's right up to the river.
Yes.
If I remember.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Mark Nelson. I think he's on a well there. I don't know of any water district close.
I can't, but there seems like there's another one on to the east there someplace, but I'm not sure about it. And the big problem would be crossing the river, and I don't think the water district has to take much to get into that too.
I thought we've done this for like Rural Water 4, where we've had expanded the district. Did we have to have a public hearing?
You know, I can't tell you that we have to have a public hearing.
I don't think
you have statutes.
I don't think we did, Mark.
Okay, it just came on before, and the commission has to approve it.
Yeah.
Whether we have to.
I sustained from voting
because I was on a public hearing.
I sustained from voting because I was on the
board. That's right.
We expanded the.
Yeah.
Also, when I did it back in 1990, we had to expand it to get to my place. This was the way we did it, and went by the statute, and filed the same paperwork that's been done here this time, and just goes to the.
It might be because we did the wrong thing. I don't know.
Well, all we've got to do is just fix a time and place for hearing.
think that was, this is it, I think.
Yeah.
The hearing.
I think we're good.
That's fine.
Okay, move to set public hearing for November 19th.
No, I think he's saying you can move and approve the resolution.
Oh, without the hearing?
Yeah.
Without the hearing?
Okay. For a hearing on a petition within 30 days from the date of filing the stamp. Okay. We fixed a time and place for this hearing, did we not?
This was a commission meeting. We didn't treat it as a public hearing. We didn't ask for public input.
We'd have to have another meeting to have a public hearing, Mark. Correct?
If that, yeah. Bear with me a second here.
Is that the statute 1990?
Yeah.
I don't see will there be anybody complain about it. Everybody needs.
Apparently, the only one to be complained would be the water district. That and we've already approved it. We have as part of the documentation submitted as approval from the water district when we've so.
And you're not encroaching on another district.
When he's a representative of that water district and he says it's okay, I mean, whatever you think.
Well, I just want to make sure that I'm not overlooking something. But it seems to me.
Also, we have a letter from the district signed by the chair of the water district showing that the board has considered it and approved the expansion.
Okay, politically, it's solid. Not a problem. I've been in touch with Bill on this. It's not a problem.
So should we just approve it?
I don't see, yeah, we.
You find it, Karen?
By the time you really have to have a hearing would be if he isn't encroaching on another water district.
Yes, that's
true.
No,
this one not.
True. It depends on how that statute's worded. Yeah.
We're not doing any of that.
We may have done something completely illegal. I don't know.
I don't know. I was leaning to
that. I don't think you did because looking at it way back when I had, we used the forms that was done when they established the water district to start with, and when we did it, and I did it myself, and this is the way we did it. And my understanding was that we had to file, get the approval of the water district, and then get approval of any of the landowners that's included therein, that is within the expanded district. In this case, there's only two, me and Kevin McFarland, and we both signed the forms that had to be submitted to the county clerk for that, and then come to the commission with that information that it had been approved by the water district and approved by all of the, well, I think technically the statute says 75% of the landowners in the encompassed area. And
it's already been done. Well, if we, yeah.
It's 100% half approved.
Yeah.
And so, and that was what we did back then too.
Well, I think I will send it after they set the hearing. Isn't that what it is? After Sunday's before the date fixed for the hearing. She sent that first possible. So I didn't send it by yet because I didn't send the hearing yet.
Okay. All right.
Have to have the hearing?
Well, there's a notice that needs to be sent out to the people Bill's talking about and the board.
Well, that was done because the board, the last meeting we had.
Okay.
There,
the county clerk shall.
And she did.
Okay.
Was this going to be their hearing date today?
Yes.
With only Kevin and Bill, I don't see an issue myself.
Right.
And I think technically, I think it's the.
You concur with that, Counselor?
I'm fine.
We don't have to have another hearing after that. We can just go ahead and approve it.
Yeah, and then you got the order here.
If Counselor's fine, I would move to approve expanding the boundaries of Rural Water District Number 6 as presented.
Second.
Been moved in second to approve water boundaries, Blue Water 6. All in favor, say aye.
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 No sense of dragging it out.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I think dragging it past, and I think this is the correct process.
I'm almost positive we did the same thing.
The board is approving why the landowners have approved it, and then it just comes to you for approval. If nobody
notification was sent,
proposals required.
Yeah.
Now you can figure out how to pay for it.
There you go.
That's part of the base for it.
That's expensive.
He's got to pay for it. It's going to be expensive, but they give us some water, right? The water down there is
not good.
Yeah. Jim had a lot of problems with it, but he just put up with it. He didn't know.
Whoops.
We have an issue over here between us. And let's take the conservative approach and let's
rescind it.
I'm sorry?
Rescind the motion or what?
Yes. And let's, we'll set a hearing. We'll have the board, y'all, set a date. And we've got to, we'll give notice of another meeting.
Upon further consultation with the counselor, I rescind my previous motion.
Second? You rescind also?
Yeah.
I, yeah, so.
And then I'll, you want to move for the 19th? Is that enough time?
Yeah.
Where does it need to be sent this time?
Well, I have to send it to the chief engineer and then to you guys.
Oh, did you not send it to the chief engineer?
Well, because the statute says that the board has to set the hearing date. I couldn't set the hearing date, that the county commission, that's how I read what it said.
Well, we'll do it the 19th.
Then I would move to set the public hearing November 19th for expanding boundaries of Water District Number 6.
Second.
Been moved second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passed.
Sorry to be a pain, Mark. I just thought we did that different. That's fine.
Thank you.
Then we'll take
it. 19th.
We want to do something, get us in trouble.
I'm sure if they broke land, nobody would come to complain.
Yeah.
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 I hope she's able to do it tonight.
Yeah.
Since we're signing.
Okay.
I have one in here.
What do you mean, Ben?
Okay, number four, consider approval of support grant application for Twin Rivers Development Support Incorporated. Lucas?
Gentlemen, you've done this, seems like every year I've been in this position so far, and I just got another request in today from another agency. It's requesting a letter of support from the board regarding some KDOT grants for these different agencies. If you guys want to continue to give support to the local folks to try to get grant money in the county, I'd ask you to consider approval of this letter.
Move to approve the letter of support as presented.
Second. Moving second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Number five, consider approval of construction agreement with KDOT and Kirk and Michael for preliminary engineering of state project number 18C-4972-01.
Chairman, before we get too far, I think Karen may have that letter that needs to be signed. She doesn't know.
Excuse me.
Gotcha. Now we're ready.
They're ready.
Okay, this is just a sort of approval for the construction agreement. On the, this is for the sign, like right over there, getting ready to start the ones here.
Putting all the stakes out, aren't they?
Yeah, getting them all out. Mm-hmm. So this is for the southern third of the county for next year. So.
Well, we really need them down south.
Look a little faded down there.
Yeah. Okay, move to approve construction agreement, KDOT, Kirk and Michael, for preliminary engineering and state project number 18C-4972-01 for high-risk railroad signing project.
Second.
And move to second. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed.
That's first.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Next, consider approval of amending.
Oh boy, I'm going to go to the restroom on that.
Just Jim's.
Nope.
That was a nice try, though.
Yeah. The first one says you got to sign, Wayne. Oh, second one. Why is it? Paper. There, so much paper.
Keep their people working.
And you're cutting all my trees down.
Got to recycle.
Surely they put this in the cloud, don't they? Every place that says sign here.
Oh boy.
That's why I'm bringing the big bottles, they hurry.
I've been trying, really. So did you find the place? I'm sorry. So did you find a spot where we did that before, or we need to, or what, Mark?
No, there's just a dispute. Dispute's not right. Question about whether the right notice was sent to the right people.
I didn't send one because I thought you guys had to set the hearing, so I had not sent anything. So that's
your damn fault.
Huh?
So it's your fault.
Well, but I read the statute to say the commissioner shall set the date. When I say the word shall, it makes me pay more attention.
Shall means ought to, not necessarily must.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Really? That's the lawyer. Can you say that again?
Well.
Yeah. Good, but not necessarily.
That's a good
that really
term.
Is.
See,
in
so
Kentucky versus Denison.
Wait.
See, so we should have.
You could have.
But we didn't.
We
could
have. We took the safe.
Where's statute? We
took the
statute. The court shall do such and such.
No, you're doing, brother.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between mandatory and directory. If there's no penalty, so what? Yeah. Preliminary hearing shall be held within 15 days.
But I didn't send the notice, so that was the problem. I sent the notice, so
what? No.
Right.
Dispute is when it says that. board shall set the hearing. That doesn't mean they have to take a vote to set. We just put it on the agenda and the board set. And the court, on standards, the court shall set the board. The court will see that. We do.
That's why he's an attorney.
That's why he's here. Now you feel what it feels like when I worked with Kevin the other day. The dude is, he's quick. He's a good, he's a smart guy. He's sharp dude. Yeah. He knows his stuff.
You couldn't read nothing either.
No, he knows his stuff. He was the same way in our meetings. He was popping off statutes and telling me what they were. I'm just trying to keep up. He knows his stuff. He's good. That's what he does as a professional career.
It's going to be exciting work, don't you know?
Not.
Bond counsel.
No.
They make good money.
Yeah, sure.
But
they've probably got lines that I's and T's need dotted and crossed.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't miss them.
Okay. Consider approval of amending fiscal year 2019. Lucas?
I sent you guys the PDF of the budget amendment for 2019. These adjustments are to accommodate expenses that either weren't there or moreover making accommodations, getting stuff lined up for the next year. I'd be more than happy to go into detail on any questions that you have. Strictly up to you guys how you want to do it. There's five accounts that we're asking for adjustments.
Are any of them very much off? Or?
Well, it's not that they're off necessarily. So, for example, the sheriff came to you the other day and asked for approval to expend, I think it's $38,000 for some stuff. The way I've been doing the budget versus what's been done differently is I haven't just, the budget authority hasn't always been the cash balance. So they may have the money, but they may not have the authority to expense that money without your consent. And so he came to you guys and said, hey, I need to do this. You guys approved it. You gave him consent. So in that change, we need to now give him the authority to expense that because you authorized it. Does that make more sense? Probably not.
Sort of.
Then the other things you're looking at are cleanup, really. So South Annex sales tax is had an expenditure of $25,000, but we're done with South Annex sales tax, and so we're trying to clean that money up and put it where it needs to be, and so that's what that is. Public safety fund was made, I believe, in 2015 or 2016. It was only in position for two times. It was when the 1 year. And it was when the question of how you manage the public safety outside of the LID type thing. And the solution at the time, directed by the state, was to pull your public safety out of your general, put them over in their own deal. The next year they said, not unless you're a big, big county, it's not the best strategy. So when I did the 18 budget, I put it back in the general fund. This was the balance of distribution that was left in there, and we're trying to move it back over to the general fund to pay for public safety where they are. Joint RMS fund, that fund does one thing, and it pays for records management for law enforcement for the entire county. So all the cities use the same one. We host it, we support it. It was put in when the South Annex and Dispatch Center was put in. And believe it or not, they want more than what they wanted then for their software. And so since we didn't know that change and that was an inflation, this is making that adjustment so that we can properly pay for what we're doing. Once again, the next line item, sales tax debt services, that's cleaning up that sales tax stuff, putting it where it needs to be. And then finally, the conversation that I had just a second ago when the sheriff came in and requested that, he had an authorization of $70,000. You guys approved another project with those funds, thus he needs more budgetary authorization, and that's it. That's what we're doing.
Dude, you're doing a heck of a job explaining that.
Well, thank you. So, again, this one is another one of those public hearing requirements, so. November 19th is going to be a public hearing party.
Move to set real quick. Public hearing for November 19th, 2019 for fiscal year 2019 budget.
Second the motion.
Been moved and seconded. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Number seven, approval of payroll register for the period of October 15th, 2019 for check number 181498 through 181641, totaling $395,489.18, wires totaling $339,032.76, and direct deposits totaling $308,345.45. And check number 812750 through 812784, totaling $68,908.55, and 701818 through 701819, totaling $282,007.
Move to approve the payment register as presented.
Second.
Move and second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Abatement request presented by Karen.
I think there was a couple, was not very many things or something.
I didn't even see. What's this Cali County doing?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
I'll pull it up. I don't recall off the top of my head. I'm pulling it up now.
I didn't see any.
I thought I did. Yeah, there's a couple. I think there was.
You just
said. Yeah, there's abatements.
Five.
There is.
Were they last time?
No, I think I made a mistake. I saved the wrong file for you. And I'm striking out on that one.
I'm pretty sure that Kelly sent this on me.
That she did. I saved the file incorrectly.
We can put them on the next one. Just say none and we'll just put them on the next meeting.
Okay. I saved them as
That's
the
fine.
Wrong PDF.
Wait till next time.
Okay. I'll move them to the next meeting.
Moving to the next meeting. Do you want to table that till November 5th?
Just say there's none and I'll just repost them.
Okay. There's none, he'll repost them. Other items come before the Board of County, Cali County Commission. Karen?
We're to cancel two checks, three journal entries, and the third quarter financial statement. That was just for the chair.
Kansas Coppers and Wings, we eventually canceled that one.
Lucas, are you going to send me the name of the publisher and the publisher from the hearing?
Oh, I'll send it to you. I have everything sent to you. The
actual
the charter.
Spreadsheet. No,
oh, yeah, no, I'll send that to you. Absolutely. I sent it to you an email already. You said.
Did you send me the state form?
I think so. But if not, I'll send it to you again. No worries.
I'll probably file it anyway somewhere.
File 13?
Probably.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, thanks.
How do you find stuff like that water district deal and stuff in the back minutes that's sued that quick? How do you find that?
Because I like statutes. So you were making fun of him, but I think it's interesting. I look up statutes and I read them and I try to interpret them and I need to ask Mark more often.
We're surrounded by such people.
Why are we gone?
It's like following the legislature and bills and stuff.
Well, like you finding all the back minutes, blink of your eye. And do all that.
Quick update. At our joint meeting with the city, discussed about preparation of a memorandum of understanding. Lucas and I have worked on that, and we have submitted a draft. Y'all haven't seen it. We sent it to their lawyer. Let them take a look at it and see where we are.
Nothing back yet.
Last week?
I can tell you when it was. It was last Wednesday.
Okay.
Around noon. The city manager and their council.
Who's that now?
Larry Schwartz. Wrong direction. You want to point that out?
That's Ark City's council too?
Mm-hmm. Larry Schwartz is currently the legal counsel.
City attorney. Yeah, he was
appointed
for 90 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking job.
He's a good guy.
So we haven't had any response back.
Job.
I think she resigned. I didn't keep up with it.
We're just waiting to hear back from them on that.
Yeah. And, we're not bound. You all haven't seen it. They were kind of in it too. So we decided, well, we'll just get it to their lawyer and let them take a look and see.
So we can change it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Lucas?
I have nothing.
What?
Mm-hmm. I've made enough mistakes. I'm good.
German. Move to adjourn. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I was going to watch you.